Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
We're going to the Air Force Base.
Why are we going to an Air Force Base?
Because the original gig fell through.
Patrick, before we start this episode here, I want to mention something about the setting where we are.
Okay, yeah.
So we're at Arlington Ale House in Arlington Heights, Illinois. And I was told the backstory on this place. This is interesting. This used to be a training facility, I guess, for like bartenders
Stuff
like that. Yeah, it was owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Really?
Yes. And so the... it wasn't open to the public. They would just have like, they would invite crowds of people in so they could do like training,
Know,
maybe do like stress test kind of stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
How they could 10 bar, what have you. And so there's like three sections. There's the section, which I guess in the front is supposed to be like the sports bar kind of thing. And then we're now in the Irish pub section. And over there is like a Mexican cantina sort of section.
Yeah.
And you can, and, but anyway, after that, you know, whatever, after that was discontinued, then the place was closed for a while, and then they open it up again
to the
just
public.
A regular, just like a bar.
You That's very interesting, very unusual.
And I'd never heard of such a thing.
No,
I'd heard of things like pilots having to use like flight simulators, or you know, I think that Bob Peterson left, but I think that's true in like, or no, he's right here. That's true in medicine too, right? Like simulators and stuff like that to do training and that sort of thing, right? But I didn't know you had like simulated bars, right?
That's pretty amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The detail, too, to have the little chalkboard above the bar here in the Irish part where you write the specials of the day up there is pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I see that now. Yeah. So that's something, huh? All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We're at Suburbs Fest Midwest, and we're recording 10-minute episodes here with some of the folks who are in attendance. And today is Bob Peterson. And, Bob, I'm setting the timer here for 10 minutes. And what is our topic?
Our topic are Spinal Tap moments or bands. In other words, embarrassing things that happen to bands during a concert that are similar to what you saw on Spinal Tap. And I'm going to probably ask some of the other members of the community to chime in because I'm only going to provide one, but it's meant to get a discussion going.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and this Spinal Tap moment involves Jimmy Page.
Oh,
I saw him when I was in high school with the band The Firm. And if you remember, that's the band he was in with Paul Rogers from Bad Company. And they had a couple of albums out with original material. And, yeah, they were pretty entertaining. And when I saw him in concert, you know, they tried to stick to the concept that this was The Firm and they were their own band. But they wanted to stoke the fires of nostalgia for Zeppelin fans. So in the middle of the concert, the big climax is Jimmy Page was going to come out and just do a long guitar solo. I think it was like 10 minutes. But included in that was when he comes out and plays the guitar with a bow, like he did in Dazed and Confused.
Right.
And they wanted to make it a big production. So during the moment when he brings out the bow, he was supposed to be enveloped by these lasers that came down from the ceiling and envelop him like in a pyramid type of thing. And they would go around and all that. The problem was when he pulled out the bow, he was in the wrong mark on the stage. So the lasers came out about 15 yards to his right. And he's playing, and he's oblivious, you know. And Jimmy Page at this time, I think he was still battling heroin. He was like a bag of bones. And he looked like David Byrne with the big suit. And he's playing, and he doesn't know what's going on. And here he is, the big rock god for all these Jimmy Page fans. And it's just like no one knew what to do, and they're all kind of looking at each other. And finally, the roadie comes out on stage and gently moves him into the lasers. And the look on his face, he kind of looks up and he looks at that and he kind of shrugged his shoulders and he had this funny smile on his face. And suddenly he wasn't the guitar god anymore. He was just an average Joe. And I don't think any of us saw him the same way, but it was pretty funny about that.
Do you need my love? satisfaction guarantee. Sitting in the gutter with my head wrapped in my hands. I've been drinking all night and I just can't stand the pain. It took an awful lot of trouble just to make me understand. Now it's clear to me.
But that's something I just wanted to bring up, and I thought there'd probably be, with all the concert experience here, there's probably similar.
Well, that sounds total Spinal Tap, because it reminds me of the when the pod didn't open or whatever, and they have like roadies trying to open it up, right, and all that.
It's out, the song's over, he has to go back in.
Yeah, right. And then also there's a funny moment in Spinal Tap where Nigel plays the guitar with a violin.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly. So,
and then I know somebody who has played guitar with a saucepan. Have you ever heard of such a thing? It's true. Have you ever heard of that?
Or I liked when he had the wireless amp, and every time he'd play, he was playing at a military base, and then he would get like interfering signals from the jets, like in the video.
That was a good one. So I can't think of a show I've been to where somebody on stage has messed up. BJ Bonin has something here.
Mine is this band that you guys might be familiar with, Velocity Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're playing at the 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis. And they did their first song. And halfway through the first song, lead singer, what was her name? Sarah Shannon? Is that it? Mm-hmm. She was hitting a hard note or a high note or something like that. And all of a sudden, her hands reached down to the top of her trousers. And the bandmates next to her, the two guitar players, started laughing. And anyway, song continues. Everyone in the, at least for me anyway, I had no idea what the hell was going on. But song continues. And at the end of the song, Sarah says, vividly remember this. This is, you can even call this a direct quote. She said, "I know this is a bit cliche for a punk rock club, but does anyone have a safety pin?" Ends up her button on her pants had broken off. And so she was, while she was singing, and she didn't miss a note, didn't stop, and then asked for a safety pin afterwards. Safety pin was of course, many of them were offered. And she fixed her pants and moved right on with the thing. Great. And it was really funny. But it's a bit cliche for a punk rock club.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, I'll see if anyone else had
that. Was good, but no, but do you want to hang on and tell me the story you were telling earlier about your own band?
Oh, are or
is
you
that,
sure?
Is that, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Listen, right. Listen to this, peoples.
So Demolition Means Progress is playing this art show outdoors in the summer in Minneapolis. I don't remember what year it was. So the stage is at one of those big trailers that you see at a county fair. And there's a whole bunch of seating in front of us. And then the rest of the, it's a giant art show. And so there's art exhibits everywhere. It's not a music show. It is an art show. So the bands that are, it's a kind of a random mix of bands. So we're playing, it's, you know, right around, I think it was just before dinner time. And there's a fair amount of people out in the crowd and a fair amount of people watching us. And we're about to start a song. And I see that this, there's a trash can, a really good sized trash can. That's, you know, one of these portable ones. It's probably a cardboard with a plastic liner on the inside, is on fire. And we're standing up there and we're about to start the song. And if you want to look it up on Spotify or whatever, the song is called, the song's called Stop. So we are playing and we're kind of looking at each other on the stage of, do we keep going? Cause there, this thing by has gone from a little fire to a raging fire. And we're looking around in the front, and no one knows that this thing is on fire. And you see people starting
to... It's like behind them.
It's behind all the people in front, but full view of us.
Yeah.
And there's some guy who's really tall dude, about 6'5 or something like that, with like a 1 liter bottle of water. And he's trying to pour it on there. And I remember before, in the middle of the one of the verses saying like, not big enough, dude. And then just keep going. And then... while he's doing that, I realize that the next line I have to sing is the first line of the second verse, which is, there's a fire inside of me. And I'm like looking, and I look over. We had a different guitar player at the time. I look over at Michelle to my right, and she's got this huge grin at me, nodding, and is telling me, you've got to sing it without laughing. And I didn't. I was laughing too hard to sing it. I think I blurted it out. And so made it through the verse. We hit the chorus. The fire department shows up. This thing is completely torched. People in the crowd have no idea what's going on behind them. So the fire department comes in and puts this thing out. And while they're putting it out, I've got a, there's a reprise of that line. And so I'm looking over at Michelle going, now you've got to sing it. She's shaking her head. And we, anyway, it's one of the moments that the band, even at rehearsal, talks about every once in a while, just because it was so absurd. And then have those lines show up twice while there's a fire going on and no one else knows that it's going on.
Everybody's okay, right?
No one was harmed in the making, except maybe someone's sense of adequacy by pouring a little tiny bottle of water. But at least the guy made an effort, you know, A for effort.
All right, good.
So, cool. It's not quite as dramatic as the pants.
Did anybody else witness a Spinal Tap moment? Bill Mulligan.
Well, after those first two stories, I don't know. I feel like somebody who had to go on after Elvis feels like. But this one isn't quite as funny, but... a number of years ago, I saw the Bangles in this little teeny club in Annapolis called the Ram's Head.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only sitting about 10 feet away from the stage, which is not relevant to the story, except that it confirmed me in my belief that were it not for the fact that she has to stand next to Susanna Hoffs, Vicki Peterson would be one of the most beautiful women in rock. But that's my personal opinion. For the encore, they came out and they were going to do Eternal Flame.
Something was on fire?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wish.
Okay.
I hate that song.
Yeah.
I hate most ballads, but I hate that song. So I was not pleased that this was going to be the end of the show. But there was something wrong with the mic. They couldn't, I don't know what, whether it was the guitars or the microphones, but they couldn't start. So what they decided to do after about 2 or 3 minutes and the tech just kind of throwing up his hands, they just grabbed an acoustic guitar. And at this point, Michelle Steele wasn't in the band anymore.
Okay.
They had a session player, as it were, for their bass player. So the two Petersons and Suzanne Haffs just gathered around a microphone and did an almost a cappella version of it, just a little bit of light acoustic guitar. It was beautiful. It was absolutely wonderful. It completely changed the way I feel about the song. Although I don't want to listen to the big power ballad version of it, but it really made me think of the song in a different way, even though it was the same group doing it. So, so that's the one time where something has gone wrong during a show that kind of affected the way I.
But it was a positive.
Yeah, in that case, it was a positive.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So,
all right,
but that was.
Yeah, they probably won't put that in the funny movie.
No.
Okay, all right. Okay, cool. So we're on time here, except for Bob has to answer a question from the bag of questions. All right, Bob. Let's see what we got here for you. Oh, okay. Your question is, what was your dream last night?
That I didn't drink so much.
You didn't All right, that will accept that.
That was a good one.
All right. Okay, let's get out of here, and we'll move on to the next person tomorrow. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Close your eyes. Give me